We come here shouting, our voices lifted in praise. We come here singing, our songs full of joy. We come here dancing, our hearts rejoicing. To the Holy One who is worthy of all praise and glory forevermore.
Good morning. Welcome to Concordia United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Claire Douglas, and I'm so excited to be here with all of you this morning. I have just one announcement that I know of. There may be more. We have beautiful flowers on the altar, and I believe that is in honor of Chris's birthday. Is that correct? Happy birthday, Chris. Thank you for giving us these beautiful flowers today. Are there any other announcements that I missed? Tomorrow is the potluck picnic at the Clark House. Let Mary know if you're going to come and bring your own lawn chair if you can. That will help all of us out. All right, please join me in singing hymn number 529, How Firm a Foundation.
Oh.
Come, sing and dance before the Lord. Let every soul sing God's praises.
Let the mountains tremble and the seas roar.
Praise the King of Glory, who guides our lives.
Praise the Lord of hosts, who watches over us. Amen.
Let's sing together number 261. Join me in prayer as written in the bulletin. Lord of the dance, creator of whirling winds and shimmering flames, move in us this day. Breathe life into our songs of praise. Set our hearts ablaze to your word. May our worship bring joy to you, O Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. And I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a special moment. So I like rocks a lot. In fact, we're going to have a couple of them in today's service. So I brought one to share with you guys. So here's my rock. You can hold it. It's kind of heavy. It's cool, isn't it? Now, there's something special about this rock. Can you guess what's special about this particular rock? You're right. It's a fossil. That's very good. Yeah. So this one is a tree fossil. It's from Petrified Forest. It's not from the national park because it's illegal to collect rocks there, but it's from the same layer of rock. from that one, and you can see the tree rings in it here, right? There's the tree rings, and this part is a part of the bark. So if you look at it, you can tell it's a tree. That's cool, isn't it? And so a fossil like this is created when minerals come in and they replace the wooden structure in the tree. So it starts out as a tree, and then minerals come in and they replace the structure and they make this beautiful, beautiful example of a tree for us. And that's kind of how like God works in our lives. God comes into our lives kind of like the minerals came into this piece of wood and it transforms us into something beautiful, right? Isn't it sparkly and kind of pretty? Yeah, it's exactly how God works in our life. Pretty cool, huh? Yeah. So every time you look at a fossil, you can think, that's how God's working in my life too. God's coming into my life and transforming me. Will you pray with me? Will all of you pray with me? Repeat after me. Holy God, thank you for fossils that remind us that you transform things into beautiful things. Transform us and make us beautiful too. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming and seeing my rock.
Our first reading is from Psalm 42, verses 1 through 5. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God. With glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God.
Our second scripture reading for today comes from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 6. So David went to bring up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf. While wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. While he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and sounds of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. When she saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls, of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. David said to Michael, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people, Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." God add God's blessing to the reading of his holy word. When I was trying to decide which sermon I was going to preach this week, and which scripture reading I was going to use, I was thinking about the song Undignified. Have any of you heard that contemporary Christian song? It's about this very verse and about dancing before the Lord, and it's one of my favorites. So I encourage you to go home and Google Undignified on YouTube and listen to it after hearing this sermon, because I think they kind of go together as a pair. Would you pray with me? Holy God, help us to know that before you nothing is foolish, that you can use every piece of who we are to glorify you. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. As some of you may know, I have two true academic loves in life: religious studies and rocks. My friends at seminary even developed their own measurement of time for me, minutes to rocks. Well, I have to admit, the minutes to rocks today is going to be very short, since I brought more than one with me. So for $1 million and a new car, can anyone identify this mineral? I'll give you three hints. What?
Pyrite.
Yes. Good job.
Where's my million?
I'll get it to you later. It's a shiny yellow color. It's not an element on the periodic table of elements, and it's often mistaken for a different, similarly colored mineral. Pyrite, also known as fool's gold. It's called fool's gold not only because of its similar coloring and physical properties to gold, but also because it is created in virtually the same conditions and found in the same locations in which one might find gold. Both are often found in or near fractures in rocks caused by faults, or near places where superheated fluids have moved, leaving behind remnant minerals. Both are a shiny yellow color. Gold, interestingly enough, is the weaker of the two minerals, and in its pure states is easily pliable. But despite all of the similarities, it is gold, unlike pyrite or fool's gold, that has monetary value. Pyrite's value lies in its scientific significance, not in its present extrinsic value. The life of Michael was not an easy one. Born a daughter of King Saul, she met the future King David when he was a rising star in Saul's court. She married him, and there must have been some mutual feelings, because Michael was even influential in helping David escape Saul's court when the king's wrath turned against Michael's young husband. After David left, Michael remarried. When David rose to power, David reclaimed Michael in a political move, which also gave him a claim to Saul's throne and probably had little to do with sentiment. Michael's second husband followed behind her on the journey back to David, crying. So here's Michael, torn away from her second husband by a man who cared more about her pedigree than her personality. She is now a member of his court along with a host of other wives. When one day her husband decides to bring the Ark of the Covenant into his new capital, Jerusalem, David is so overjoyed at the arrival of the Ark of the Covenant that David strips half naked and dances in the street before the Ark with all his might. While Michael, concerned with propriety, immediately chastises her husband for his unseemly behavior. David's response is a bit surprising. I don't know about you, but if I'd been David, brand new on the job as the number one figurehead in the nation, and had just been caught doing something that could be considered unseemly by my very proper wife, I would do some pretty fast backpedaling. After all, Michael had grown up in the court of kings, she certainly would have known her way around politics. But David, rather than get embarrassed or admit that perhaps this was not the most dignified manner for a king to behave, instead defends himself by saying it is always proper to be foolish before the Lord, that true foolishness can only be judged by God. David's point is that what human society views as foolishness may instead be a part of something greater than humanity can understand, that God uses human foolishness too. I think sometimes we as people of God are afraid of looking foolish. We are afraid to take a risk and reach out to the person next to us. We are afraid to admit that we don't know everything. We're afraid to try something new in case we will look undignified. We are afraid that taking a risk will cause people to lose respect for us. We act as Michael, as people steeped in tradition since birth. We do not act as David, willing to throw all of our cares aside and act vulnerable before each other and God. But before our God, nothing we try with true sincerity is foolish. God is bigger than human foolishness. God is bigger than a misstep or an attempt or even a mistake. The book of Ecclesiastes reminds us that God is bigger than humanity. It reads, "A generation comes and a generation goes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hurries to the place where it rises. The wind blows south and goes around to the north. Round and round the wind goes, and on its circuit the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they continue to flow. God is like the sun which rises and sets daily. God is like the wind which continues to blow. God is like the streams flowing into the sea but never filling it. No matter what we can do, we can never be divided from God. We cannot thwart the plans of God in our lives or others." So why not dream big and act foolish? Why not dance before the ark? Why not share that deep, dark secret we've been hiding? Why not witness the love of God to a friend or family member? With God's help, we can accomplish anything, even if it at first seems foolish. I've been thinking a lot about the ever-enthusiastic, fictitious elementary school teacher, Miss Frizzle, recently. In addition to wishing I had one of her unique dresses to wear this morning, I have been meditating on one of her catchphrases. If you've ever watched or read the Magic School Bus series, you may recall Miss Frizzle saying right before every school field trip, "Take chances, make mistakes, get messy." How often do we really do that? Take chances, make mistakes, get messy. Take chances, by definition, means that we may not get everything right. Sometimes we may try something that simply doesn't work, but it's worth it, because by doing something wrong, the wrong way, we may have learned something. The oft-quoted Thomas Edison, when asked about his process for invention, is said to have replied, "I did not fail 1,000 times. I learned 1,000 ways not to make a light bulb." So let us not be afraid to be foolish before God, for God uses our chances, all of our mistakes, and is not afraid to get messy with us. This past week, I spent serving at United Methodist Children's Services with a group of members from this church. 12 of those who served with us were members of the Concordia United Methodist Church youth group. The Washington Park neighborhood, where the United Methodist Children's Services is located, is very different from here in Sauk Prairie. There are many people living there who are struggling daily to make ends meet. United Methodist Children's Services provides 72 units of low-income housing, mostly for families with young children. UMCS also provides counseling, a food and clothing bank, and a daycare. Many of the people who live in the neighborhood are struggling with limited options. They want to provide for their families the kind of things we would all like our children to have: food, shelter, opportunities to be whoever they want to be. And yet, many of the things we would consider basic necessities are a daily struggle. it would be easy for us to look at some of the decisions these mothers and fathers make and consider them foolish. It would be easy for us to say they should just try to hold a steady job or pull themselves up by their bootstraps and everything would be fine. But as we talked about with the young people of this church this week, these parents face so many obstacles that no decision is easy or foolish for them. Likewise, it would be easy for us to say that 1 week painting porches and hallways, doing landscaping and cleaning up trash does not make a difference in the myriad of challenges these families face. That attempting to help through a single week of work is foolish. Yet the look on the members of this community's face tells me that it is not. Yes, we were not able to solve everything. We were not able to guarantee them a job or childcare for their children, but we were able to brighten up a bit the place in which they live. And if it brought a smile to their face or a moment of joy to their hearts, then our service was far from foolish. We took chances, made mistakes, and at least in my case, got very, very messy. And I am absolutely sure that God was with us in every moment, in every laugh and every smile. Just as David used a small stone to slay Goliath, so too God used an unlikely stone to do something amazing. There's something about pyrite that allowed amino acids, the building blocks of life, to attach to it. This mineral, birthed by the dust of stars, helped create life. Isn't it funny how God used the foolish mineral to create you and me? We are the dust of stars, beautifully and wonderfully made. So let us go forth and follow the example of David and be foolish before the Lord. With God's help, you never know where your foolishness may lead you. Amen and amen. Please join me in singing hymn number 399, Take My Life and Let It Be. Stand as you are able. I'd like the ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and our offerings. Freely we have received from God, let us freely give. Our simple gifts for this month goes to United Methodist Children's Services, where several of us in this room spent the last week serving, and we know what wonderful things they can do with that change.
Pray together as printed in the bulletin.
Lord of the heavenly hosts, we praise you for your glory and majesty. Make us more like King David, who rejoiced with great gladness and singing in your presence. Let us see and hear our joy and be drawn to you. We dedicate our offerings and our lives in your service. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite you to share any prayers that you may have this morning. I have a couple to lead us off. Dave Regala was supposed to be with us this morning and was going to share some beautiful music for us, but unfortunately, he had to go into the hospital yesterday. So we pray for him that he's feeling better quickly and will return home quickly. It sounds like there's a potential that he may even be home this afternoon. So prayers for Dave that he would recover quickly. And we also pray, I got up this morning and went to look at the news one last time and discovered that not only had there been a mass shooting yesterday in El Paso, Texas, but there was also a shooting overnight in Dayton, Ohio. So between those two different mass shootings, 29 people lost their lives in the last 24 hours. So we pray for all of those families who were affected, the 29 families who lost loved ones, and the innumerable other ones who had family members who were injured. Seems like we can't turn on the news any days now without seeing notifications of events like this. So we pray that those families would know the strength of God and the strength of their community in this very sad time. And I hear we have a joy.
First of all, I want to thank all the kind, nice people who last week gave me hugs and handshakes and wished me well on my journey. Many of you probably know that God gave me the opportunity to meet my real-life biological brother. It took 80 years, but believe me, it was wonderful. We spent Sunday afternoon all day Monday and all day Tuesday together, along with some cousins from Milwaukee. Most of you have probably heard this, that I was adopted when I was 9 months old, but my mother didn't give me up for 4 months. She kept me and fed me and took care of me for 4 months before family talked her into giving me up for adoption because they thought it would be better for me because she was young. I'm certain that many, many, many times she cried and wondered how I was and where I was. Unfortunately, by the time God allowed us to start this family get-together, my mother had passed. But I do have a biological half-brother, a biological half-sister, and on Monday, two cousins even showed up to visit from Milwaukee. So it has been totally glorious and totally remarkable. Jeff went back to Georgia this morning because he works at the Atlanta Zoo, and so he left to go back, but I wanted to keep him, but couldn't do that. So I want to thank you all again for your kindness, and everyone was asking today, so I thought I would just say how wonderful it was and thank the Lord for every blessing that he has given me. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing with us again. I know that we all wanted to hear how your meeting went. I like to say God is good all the time. Yes, some of you know this. Are there any other prayers that we have this morning? Will you take a moment to silently pray? Creator God, you have created each and every one of us and breathed into us the breath of life. We pray that you would walk alongside us, your beautiful creation, today and every day as we know you do. We thank you, Lord, for all of your many blessings, for families, for foolishness, for laughter and smile. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with these many things. Help us to know that truly you are good all the time. But Lord, we also know that there are days that are hard for us. And we pray that you would walk alongside us holding our hands in those moments. We pray for all of those who are experiencing health concerns, that you would walk alongside them, strengthening them moment by moment. We pray for all of those who have cancer, that you would relieve their pain and be with them through the difficult decisions and scary moments. We pray for all of those who are in long-term care facilities or home confined. We pray that they would know that they are still a part of wonderful communities that love them. And we pray for all of those who are experiencing grief and tragedy. We pray that they would truly feel the strength of your love and of their community in this time. We pray all this as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. One of the most powerful things that we have the opportunity to do as a community is to celebrate communion with one another. It is a time when we come together and remember that we share this beautiful table of the Lord, not only with everyone here in this room, but with everyone all over the world and with the communion of saints. Would you please join me on page 13 of your hymnal? In the United Methodist Church, we celebrate an open table, which means that you need not be a member of this church or of any United Methodist Church to receive communion. Christ invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Our elements today will be grape juice, and we have gluten-free wafers. If that is needed for you, just let us know. Will you please join me in the great Thanksgiving? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. You ready, Jane? I will invite you all to come forward and receive a piece of bread and a cup of juice. Please join me in singing hymn 2068, I Love You, Lord, our communion response hymn. Let us go forth, remembering that we are made of the dust of stars beautifully and wonderfully, and unafraid to be foolish before God, knowing that God will use all of our foolishness too. Amen.